Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy life, your busy morning, to join me today on the radio broadcast. Today is Monday, and I'm trying to say, I forgot exactly what day it was, Monday, June 21st, 2021. Okay, I think I have it right now. It's so good to be with you on this Monday morning. I want to spend the time on the program today discussing, talking about the recent installation, not election, the installation of Iran's new president. Make no mistake, for us here in the West, the Iranian government, that is the Islamic Republic of Iran, wants everyone in the world to think, look at the democracy and the freedom that we have here. We just had an election where people actually voted for the representation of their choice, for the candidate of their choice. Please. I have many Iranian friends that explain to me exactly what's going on here. First of all, people are coerced, if you will, to come to the ballots and vote, because if they don't, there are repercussions. One of those repercussions is the loss of their financial security or their government benefits. Just like when we had the funeral of Soleimani, the general that was killed by President Trump a year or so ago, many of these people turned out mourning, being so upset, and it was staged. A lot of them were forced to come and behave that way before the media. Are there repercussions? This recent election, the candidate, Ibrahim Raisi, was handpicked beforehand by the supreme leader. It's a no-brainer. He is going to win regardless of any kind of turnout. And by the way, this was the lowest voter turnout in many, many decades. Only 48.8%, and maybe that's even a high figure, turned out. Well, why? Well, because of the 1,500 people killed in the election, in the protests a year and a half ago during the price hike of the gas. The government murdered 1,500 innocent protesters. And then just a couple of months later, they shot down Ukrainian Flight 752 on its way back to Canada, killing many Iranian-Canadian citizens on board. They even admitted they shot it down. Oh, they gave the excuse that the reason they shot it down, they thought it was incoming missiles, an attack from an American air base in Iraq. But nonetheless, they shot down a civilian airliner headed back to Canada. And Iranians have not forgotten the oppression and murder that has taken place in just the space of the last couple of years. Now, on top of what I just said, Look at the pandemic, the number, the thousands of Iranians who have lost their lives. The way this pandemic has been managed has been so inexcusable. The supreme leader, for the longest time, refused to have any kind of vaccine brought in because he was worried that it was infected because it came from the United States or other countries. And so thousands of Iranians, which their lives could have been prevented, could have been saved, have been murdered in not only the protests back in November 2019, not only in the airliner shot down in January of 2020, but here during the pandemic. But let's talk about the man, the new president of Iran. He's a murderer. Make no mistake. And I want to talk to you this morning from an article put out by the Center for Human Rights in Iran. Iran election: heightened vigilance needed as major rights violator takes power. Ebrahim Raisi. The writer says that this was a sham election in which almost all other candidates were disqualified. And we want to know a little bit about this man. According to Hadi Ghami, he's the executive director of the Center for Human Rights in Iran. He's referring to the fact that almost all relatively moderate candidates were disqualified by Iran's unelected State Guardian Council. So there you have the system and how it works. Now, this new title of being president of Iran does not absolve Raisi of his long record of gross human rights violation. And the main violation in this man's jaded history is the call for accountability regarding the 1988 mass extrajudicial executions in Iran, in which Raisi played a direct and leading role. That's 33 years ago. And the Center for Human Rights in Iran is urging the UN to establish an international investigation into those politically motivated killings. It was one of the darkest periods in the history of Iran, in the 1988 mass executions. And the Center for Human Rights also urges the international community to recall that since Raisi was appointed as judiciary chief by the supreme leader in 2019, violent repression have and human rights abuses have not only continued unabated, they have intensified. And of course, it's including the mass shootings of civilians by state security forces during the November 29 protesters. And there was no accountability for that. The ongoing execution of juvenile offenders, the persecution and imprisonment of civil and human rights activists, human rights lawyers, religious and ethnic minorities, the inhumane treatment of political prisoners, and the detainment of dual and foreign nationals. I'm referring here to Nazanin Ratcliffe. They continue to promise her release, and at the last minute they abated. And these, of course, these dual nationals are nothing more than political bargaining chips with other countries. Now, Hadi Ghami of the Human Rights in Iran says that Raisi does not speak for or represent the Iranian people. He represents a repressive state that chooses to muzzle and maim those who criticize it. Well, you know that. You can't speak up and disagree about the government. You can't go on Facebook and post anything. You can't go on Instagram. You've got the cyber police constantly monitoring you. Now, since May 16th, which was the deadline for candidate registration, Reporters Without Borders logged 42 cases of independent journalists in Iran receiving summons from the prosecutor's office are threats from the intelligence ministry officials after publishing critical coverage of the elections and the disqualifications. In other words, there's no such thing as journalists free to write in Iran. You'll get a call from the intelligence ministry and the prosecutor's office, and you're going to get in trouble if you say a word against the government or against the elections or any of the disqualifications. Now, a little bit more about Raisi, the new president of Iran. He played key roles in this politically motivated execution back in 1988. And also the unjust imprisonment of countless Iranians over the last three decades. One of his crimes stands out and has been acknowledged as rising to the level of crimes against humanity. Back in 1988, as I mentioned, he was appointed, that is Raisi, to a four-man, it was called Death Committee. Now, that was done by then-Supreme Leader Khamenei. And it paved the way for between 4,000 and 5,000 prisoners executed. They were buried in unmarked mass graves. And that's how their lives ended. The families to this day, 33 years later, still cannot find their executed family members. Now, of course, as president, Raisi would have the duty to enforce the Constitution, if you will, defend the rights of citizens, and yet, this is a joke, as Judiciary Chief, he has been responsible, again, for countless severe violations of citizens' rights by the judicial branch. This is what we're dealing with here in Iran. This new president, as I mentioned on my blog post, is a murderer. He is a man that will continue the oppression of political prisoners. He will continue the execution of juvenile offenders. He will continue to keep people under oppression with no freedom. The most we can do as those that follow what happens in Iran, as those that follow my program here in the Cross in the Desert, we need to continue to pray, to speak out, and to hold Iran accountable, to put pressure on them through petitions, through contacting our senators here in the United States, together with other Iranian-American groups here in the United States, and to put as much pressure on this evil regime in Iran. That's what we can do. So although there has been an election, make no mistake, it is a bogus, rigged election. He will not take office until August. Rouhani is still president until then. I will keep us informed about every single activity that goes on with this new president, and we will put pressure on him, and we will hold him accountable. Now I want to turn to a brighter spot in the news this morning. I want to talk about my dear Iranian friend, Mary Mohammadi. She is a Christian living in Iran. She is a staunch advocate for human rights, for the rights of Christians living in Iran. I have written about her extensively in my books, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran, and Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians. And I want to speak to you this morning a little bit about an article written by a friend of mine that was published in CBN. And this is really well written, and I want to share it with you word for word, because it focuses in on what I think is one of the most brave Christian girls living in Iran. I know her personally. She doesn't hesitate to speak her mind at risk, at much risk to her life and to her family. This is an article written and published in CBN by my friend Leela Gilbert from the Family Research Council, Leela Gilbert. And she writes, most Christians live quiet lives, wary of drawing unwelcome attention to themselves. And this is especially true of converts from Islam. For them, keeping out of sight can be a matter of life and death, but not all Iranian Christians choose to keep a low profile. And Mary Mohammadi has decided to walk a different and more difficult path. Just 22 years old, she has been arrested and jailed on more than one occasion for reasons regarding her faith. For a time, she was held in Iran's infamous Qarchak women's prison, a germ-infested facility south of Tehran. She was ferociously abused in Bazara Detention Center by female authorities. She was also beaten so severely in a city square by both male and female guards that her bruises could be seen on her body for weeks. Mary's courage and grace are noteworthy. Even President Donald Trump mentioned her by name during a national prayer breakfast speech, noting that she was imprisoned because, quote, she converted to Christianity and shared the gospel with others, end quote. Yet despite the mistreatment she has endured, Mary refuses to be silenced about a number of injustices. And for starters, she is outraged and outspoken about the upcoming presidential election. This article was written prior to the installation of the new president. And here's what Mary had to say to Layla for this article. This is not a real election. The decision has been made. All Iranians already know who the next president will be, Ebrahim Raisi. And they also know what he is. In the summer of 1988, Raisi was the member of a committee called Four-Member Death Committee. In that capacity, he was known for having ordered the execution of hundreds of activists. Well, really, it's thousands. But she's right about what he did. Leela continues to write, Mary reminded me that Raisi was also a presidential candidate 4 years ago when he ran against President Hassan Rouhani. This took place even though Rouhani is viewed as a reformist and Raisi is a hardliner. Mary continues to speak out. She says, quote, the regime plays with the people, using them like a ball. They get thrown back and forth between the hardliners and the so-called reformists. Raisi was virtually unknown at that time, and it was the Ayatollah's opportunity to introduce him to voters. Mary pointed out that Raisi has had important responsibilities from the very beginning, since the Islamic Revolution in 1979. When I asked Mary about her view of the election, she minced no words. I don't recognize the Islamic Republic as a legitimate regime, so I don't recognize its elections either, and I believe this is the best and the most correct attitude. In Iran, it's propaganda that wins in the end, no matter what the real vote is. If our votes were important, the regime would have not killed at least 1,500 people in the month of Bloody November in 2019. It wouldn't have executed activists and protesters like Nawad Afkari. More people than can be counted have been killed by this regime during the last 43 years. My message to the regime is this. It is my right not to recognize you as a government. You are occupying my country like the Taliban and like ISIS. In the last 43 years and in every four-year interval between elections, when have you ever recognized me as a Christian, Mary asks. I do not recognize you. Leela continues to write, in our correspondence, I've asked Mary about how her life changed after her confrontation with the authorities. I learned that following her arrests and detention, she not only lost a job that she loved, but also her ability to continue her university education. Clearly, the losses she lives with are distressing to a young, articulate, and intelligent woman like Mary. And of course, she is far from the only Christians who face these deprivations. Iran is listed among the top 10 persecutors of Christians in the world. Again, Mary continues, the regime only formally recognizes certain Christian denominations, the Syrians and Armenians, and they have brutally killed some Christian leaders over the years like Mehdi Dejab, Hussein Suleiman, and Rabakambash Yousefi. Furthermore, the regime prevents the rest of us from pursuing our education or finding work. Today, they do not permit us to meet, to discuss, to worship, to talk about our faith, to have separate cemeteries, to hold funeral and marriage ceremony in a Christian way, to publish and sell the Bible in any language except in Armenian and Assyrian language, to have any official churches, to adopt a child, and more. To sum up, we don't have any rights. We are not citizens in our own country. The government only provides us with a birth certificate and the right to vote, all to benefit itself. Wow. Mary Mohammadi wants the world to know about the discrimination she and others experience. But as we corresponded, I became increasingly uneasy about her firm determination to speak so boldly. I cautioned her. I tried to change the subject, and I asked more than once why she refused to be more careful. Here's what Mary says. Why am I doing this? Because I am expected as a follower of Jesus to fight for justice. It is not just a choice, but a command I have from him. My primary objective is not to get rid of the regime, but to gain justice for all Iranians. Yet that can never be done until the regime is gone and until Iran has a government based on the rule of law. Mary Mohammadi concluded by quoting a passage of scripture from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. May God protect her, honor her, and answer her prayers. Layla Gilbert, Senior Fellow, International Religious Freedom at Family Research Council. I scarcely know what to say as I sit here reading this incredible testimony by Mary. I don't know how to describe this to you other than to say, if you only understood the danger of living in Iran and the dangerous repercussions for daring to criticize and disagree with his government, the torture, the lashing, the humiliation, the loss of job, the loss of freedom, I wish I could adequately describe the risk that Mary is taking to speak out. And what does she say? She's not doing this to make a name for herself. She says, I am expected as a follower of Jesus to fight for justice. And that includes preaching the gospel, not just social justice, of course. And she goes on to say, this is not just a choice, but a command. She is being obedient to Jesus at the risk of her own life. And yet, what does Jesus say? Unless you deny yourself and take up your cross daily, you cannot be my disciple. Oh, the church here in the West, how we need to learn from the example of Mary. What an incredible testimony. To the glory of Christ, she is a brave warrior for Christ in Iran. I'm just so humbled to know this young girl. I want us to hear a song right now from Wayne Watson that describes who Mary is. She has chosen to walk the narrow way.
No matter what it takes, shine on in me. Keep me on the narrow way. In your word I will believe. I'm gonna let it shine on in me. Keep me on the narrow way. I believe you've got a place in your will for me. Help me keep my eyes on what I cannot see. Teach me to be holy and pleasing in your sight. Help me to know what is wrong and do what's right. Gonna walk the narrow way, hold to the road with a steadfast faith, no matter what it takes. Not sure what I'm gonna face, but I'm gonna walk it anyway. I promise to obey. In your word I will believe. I'm gonna let it shine on in me. Keep me on the narrow way. In your word I will believe. I'm gonna let it shine on in me. Keep me on the narrow way. With all my heart and all my soul, I will serve you, Lord. I wanna take the narrow way. Surrounded by your love, I don't want to stray. I'm gonna take the narrow way. Gonna walk the narrow way.
Incredible worship music from Wayne Watson. The narrow way is the way that Mary Mohammadi has chosen to walk in obedience to Jesus in such a dangerous place called Iran. We need to pray faithfully for her. You can come to my page for Mary. It's called Pray for Mary Mohammadi on Facebook and join the group and be a constant source of inspiration and prayer for this obedient servant of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much this morning for joining me on my program. The people of Iran need our voices in prayer, especially with this new president. I want you to have a great week, and I will see you once again on Thursday on the cross in the desert. God bless you. Keep safe and keep praying for my dear Iranian friends. I will see you soon.